Genesis 24. I want to speak to you this morning. The title of my message will be Just Say Yes. I heard a story yesterday. This guy passes away and he reaches the gates of heaven and he's stopped there by St. Peter. And St. Peter says to him, "You know, I'm just curious. Is there anything in your life that you attained, that you did, that you, a moment that you stepped up to the plate and just, you know, did something beyond your realm of possibility?" And the guy thinks for a moment. He says, "Yeah, you know, there was a time. I was at the beach and this group of Hell's Angels motorcycle gang pulled up and they were giving this, you know, this young lady a bad time and then they grabbed her. And so I walked right over and I got her free and I set her free and I turned around and I figured out who was the leader of that group and I hit him as hard as I could right in the mouth." And St. Peter said, "Man, that's courage. That's impressive. We're going to put you on the security staff here or something." Wow. "How long ago did that happen?" And the guy said, "Oh, about 3 minutes ago." The courage to say yes. You know, sometimes there can be a fine line between courageousness or courage and foolishness. Amen? Like, you know, with the group of Hell's Angels bikers. In Genesis 24, we're going to look at four examples of saying yes. Abraham said yes to the Lord. It took courage. Eliezer, Abraham's servant, said yes to Abraham. God said yes to Eliezer. I'll say that about 10 different ways today. Eliezer. Where's Antoine when I need him? And then lastly, Rebecca said yes to the Lord. So let's begin. Genesis 24. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. The word advanced there in Hebrew, it's the word besieged. I had to laugh at myself, you know, as I'm pushing myself up off my desk this morning because my back is trying to go out. Abraham is besieged with age. But we'll see, if you read ahead in Genesis 25, not that besieged, but that's for another time. He was besieged by age, and the Lord had blessed him in all things. Now, why is this? Why did God pick Abraham out of all of the men on the earth and just decide, "I'm going to bless this man to the point where the entire earth will know of his blessings, of his faith, of his courage"? Well, I think that Abraham had a lot to do with it. In the first place, he did have great faith. The Bible says that Abraham believed and it was counted to him as righteousness. By whom? By the Lord. Friend, Abraham in Genesis was saved the exact same way that we get saved today. He believed God. And because he believed God, God counted it to him for righteousness. So Abraham was a man of faith. He was a man of belief. He was a man of character. And yes, so often, you know, we see him go down to Egypt and we wag our heads. In the next couple of chapters after this chapter, we'll see his son do the exact same thing. And yes, we'll wag our heads. And yet, look at the times that Abraham had the courage. Because Abraham said yes to God. In Genesis chapter 12, those first few verses, God said, "Abraham, get up from your people, get up from your land, and go. And Abraham had the courage to go. He said yes to the Lord. Oh, beloved, would that we said yes to the Lord. I this week, a couple of times, I was just imagining, what would the world be like? Okay, that's too large. What would the United States be like? Okay, that's too big. What would California be like? Who knows what we're like these days? What would Simi Valley, what would our neighborhoods be like if our first response, like Abraham, to the Lord was just yes? I am going to lay before you in 2004 some challenges. And for some of you, you're going to hear these challenges towards the end of the year, and you're going to say to yourself, I don't know. I don't know, Pastor. I don't know. But one of the challenges that I'm going to lay before every family in this church is to win in 2004 another family to Christ. I don't mean that you're going to go and talk them out of Faith Community Church to ours, or from Cornerstone to ours, or from Rocky Peak. That's not what I'm talking about. But the Lord, I'm going to ask the Lord to lay on your heart a family. Well, I don't have to look far. Right in my neighborhood is a brand new family, and they need the Lord. And that's going to be one of my goals. And I hope that you'll say yes to the Lord. Abraham said yes to God. And he left a land of sin to sojourn in a land of promise. Would that we, like Abraham, when we find ourselves stuck in a land of sin, when we find ourselves with lies on our lips, when we find that the Lord's no longer communicating with us, or at least we feel that way, would we, like Abraham, head north, head back to the Lord? And I think that's one of the reasons that the Lord just loved to bless Abraham. It's one of the reasons that he just loved to say yes to Abraham. And so Abraham said yes to the Lord, and the Lord blessed him. Verse number 2, so Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had, please put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But you shall go to my country, and when you get there, you shall go to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac. And so Abraham is seeing Isaac. Isaac is in his late 30s at this point. In fact, he's 40 at this point. And Abraham says, I need to find a wife for Isaac. But Abraham knows that through his lineage, through his descendants, in the Bible it says, through his seed will come that blessed Messiah, the Savior. And so he calls his servant in. And we remember in Genesis 15 that his servant was Eliezer. Eliezer was probably the grandson of Nimrod. And Abraham used that against God for leverage. Abraham said to God, God, we don't have any children. And if I die with no children, the grandson of Nimrod is going to be the heir. Well, of course, that wasn't ever God's plan. But Abraham was just trying to twist his arm a little bit. And so here's this same servant. And Abraham brings him in. And Abraham makes Eliezer take a solemn oath to promise that he will go and find a wife, not from the Canaanites, but from the family of Abraham, from Abraham's land. And the servant said to him in verse 5, well, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came? So Eliezer says to Abraham, realizing the solemnness of this oath, he says to Abraham, well, wait a minute. Is there a plan B? What if plan A doesn't work? What if I get there and I can't convince some young lady to come back? Can I come back and take Isaac there? And you know, when Abraham said yes to the Lord, his answer was complete. His answer was real. His answer was his heartfelt conviction. Yes, Lord, I will go to the promised land. And so when the temptation came for Abraham's son to leave the promised land and return back to the land of sin, Abraham said, no, there is no plan B. And look in verse number 6. But Abraham said to him, beware. And that means I warn you. Parents, have you ever said that to your children? Is it just me? I warn you. I say to my dog all the time, Jack, I warn you. Abraham says to Eliezer, I warn you, don't you do this thing. Beware that you do not take my son back there. And Abraham tells him, listen, God's going to go before you. God's going to pave the way in verse number 7. He says, the Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants I give this land, he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. And if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there. So Abraham says to him, Eliezer, listen, I know this is a difficult task. And you know, he doesn't give him many directions, does he? He says, go to this country, and when you get there, find someone from my family. No MapQuest, no Thomas Brothers, no Auto Club Triptych. Does anybody still use those? I do. Nothing. Eliezer, I want you to go. I want you to take this solemn oath. If you succeed, my descendants will be blessed. If you don't, if you bring them back a wife from Canaan, you won't have any descendants. That was a part of the oath. And then Eliezer says, what if I just can't do this? And then Abraham says, well, then you're released. But you know what? The angel of the Lord is going to go before you. Why? Abraham is telling him, Eliezer, this is God's will. It's God's will. And Eliezer listens to his master. He considers the life of his master. He considers the faith of Abraham. He thinks back. He meditates. What has the Lord done for this man? Much. And Eliezer says, yes, I'll do this. I'll go. I'll go and I will take on this oath. And if you want to know more about the oath, go on the internet and listen to Wednesday night's message. There's more to putting your hand under a thigh than you think. That's all I'm going to say on Sunday morning. But check it out. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and he swore to him concerning the matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed. 10 camels. What Eliezer did was he forms a parade. 10 camels. That was huge. Why did he take 10 camels? Well, for a couple of reasons that I can think of. First of all, who's he representing? Hello? Abraham, the richest man on the planet. It would be as if Bill Gates said, now, Bob, I want you to go and run an errand for me. I want you to go to drive across the country and pick something up and bring it back. Well, would he send Bob across the country in a bicycle? No, he would probably send him in a caravan of air-conditioned buses and trucks and, you know, Class A. No Class C. And so Eliezer is representing Abraham. So the more the merrier. The Bible says that Eliezer had everything that Abraham owned in his hand. He was in charge of everything. I think another reason why 10 camels was probably Abraham pulled Eliezer aside and said, now Eliezer, let me tell you something about the Lord answering, how the Lord answers prayer. Let me tell you something about how the Lord keeps his promise. 25 years ago, the Lord promised my wife and I a baby. 25 years. He took 25 years to answer that prayer. So you better pack up some stuff, my friend. You might be on the road a long time. 10 camels worth. Camels were the truck of the day. And so he loaded it up, probably fully expecting that he would be gone a long time. If you read the scripture, it looks as if Abraham doesn't expect to be alive when Eliezer gets back with a wife for Isaac. He's well advanced. He's besieged by age. And so, yes, Abraham has faith, but Abraham also knows the personality of his God. And that is that sometimes God takes a long, long time to answer prayer. Amen? Those of you out there waiting, sometimes he just does. Why does he do that? Because he's God. I wish I had a better answer, but that's the answer. And so he loads up 10 camels and he arose and he went to Mesopotamia to the city of Nahor, and he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. This is interesting. In this society, the women did all of the physical labor. We've talked about this a little bit, so I won't belabor it. But Eliezer knows that if he waits outside the city by the well, that he will see the women of the city, the young women of the city. They're the ones that do the work. And so he makes his camels to kneel down. Now think about this. Would there be enough room across the front of this auditorium for 10 camels to kneel? It would be tight, wouldn't it? It would be camel to camel. It would be saddle to saddle. Think of the impression this must have made outside the city when the women are coming out and there's this huge entourage of camels parked. And then look at this wonderful prayer on the part of Eliezer in verse number 12. Then he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink, and she says, drink, and I also will give your camels a drink. Let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. You know what strikes me here? Is we're not even sure that Eliezer of Damascus even was a believer. We know that Abraham and Sarah kept non-believing servants in their household. An example would be Hagar. And look at his prayer here. He says, O Lord God of my master. Literally, what Eliezer is doing is he is borrowing the faith of his master Abraham. What a challenge. What a challenge. I mean, for many of us, our neighbors are surprised when they hear that we're a Christian. You're a Christian? Oh, that's probably not a very good testimony, is it? Where do you go every Sunday morning? I go to church. You go to church? No, that probably doesn't happen to very many of us. But beloved, our faith, our relationship with God, it should be such that people are coming to us to borrow it. What a blessed thing to hear from a coworker. Hey, could you do me a big favor? Yeah, anything. You need $5 for lunch? No. Would you pray for my kid? Yeah, what's going on? Man, my kid is sick. Would you pray to your God for my kid? Would you pray to your God for my marriage? Would you pray to God for my nephew? Would you pray to your God for me? Could I borrow your faith? I know that you're connected. I know you're in touch. I know he hears you. Oh, church, that should be who we are. That's who Abraham was. And so Eliezer parks his camels and he prays to the God of his master Why? Because he saw what the God of his master did for, through, and in his master. And he prays this prayer, Lord, show me. And I love this. Before he finishes the prayer in verse 15, he hasn't even said that amen part. He's still praying literally. And it happened before he had finished speaking that, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold. She was a virgin. No man had known her. And she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and she came up. And Eliezer ran to meet her and said, please, let me drink a little water from your pitcher. So he's going to give her two tests. He's going to test her response, and then he's going to test her roots. So he says to her, would you give me a drink? And she says, absolutely. She lowers her pitcher, and she gives him to drink. She looks over his shoulder. You got 10 camels parked back there, and they all look thirsty. I paraphrase. She says, wait here and I'll water your camels too. Probably an hour's worth of work for her. An hour. Boy, in our lives that's a lot, isn't it? In two Sundays we're going to get an extra hour. We're going to fall back. Oh, I'm so looking forward to that hour. I'm making plans for it right now. It's marked off on my PDA. I got to tell you something. You know, I'm one to help people out. I'm one to do a favor for somebody. And if you said to me, Tim, could you give me a ride home? My car is not working. I would probably say, yeah, I'll give you a ride home. You get in my car. And then if you said, hey, could we stop by the grocery store on the way home? Because I need to pick up a couple of things. I might be tempted to say, okay, we could stop by the grocery store. And then I need to get by the dry cleaner too and pick some stuff up. I need to go by Target and pick up a battery. And man, if you don't mind, it's kind of like there's a sale at the mall, and I would say, get out. But Rebekah didn't. She said, I will water. And you know what? To Eliezer, God said, yes. Yes, I will answer your prayer. Yes, I will show you the one. And he does. And the story continues here. Eliezer checks the response to her. And then look in verse 23. He said, whose daughter are you? So he checks her response and he gets a positive reaction. And now he says, whose daughter are you? And he gets some good news here. Tell me, please. And also, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge? And she said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel. And right then, under his breath, Eliezer said, yes, right family. I am the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, whom she bore to Nahor. Moreover, she said to him, we have both straw and feed enough and room to lodge. And then the man bowed his head and he worshiped the Lord. As he was watching Rebekah water the camels, the Bible says he wondered. He wondered. He was stunned in Hebrew. And now he turns that wonderment into worship as he praises the Lord. And so he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. Now listen to this. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Friend, here is a principle of prayer that you cannot miss. Eliezer prayed. And then what did he do? You know, he could have prayed and stayed in Beersheba. You know, he could have bowed his head. Lord,
Lord, would you just please lead me to the right young lady for my master Isaac. Amen. I better pray again. Lord, would you just show me the right one? Just show me, Lord. Just show me. You know, sometimes we get so silly about prayer that I wonder why some of us don't get in the passenger side of our car, close the door and say, Lord, if you want me to go to work today, I just pray, Lord, that you'll drive my car there. He didn't do that. And you know what else he didn't do? He didn't stop at Nahor. He didn't get to the city of Nahor and pray, Lord, show me the one. And let's just say that the Lord didn't show him the one. Friends, he didn't build a house in Nahor. He kneeled his camels to water them. His plan fully was that if God didn't show him in Nahor the answer to his prayer, what was he going to do? He was going to move on. And I just want you to know that we need to pray, get on the way. The Lord will guide us if we obey. You say, well, that's a silly little rhyme. I know. But if you learn it and practice it, it'll change your prayer life. It might change your life. If we pray, get on the way, God will guide if we'll obey. And that's what Eliezer did. And it's why God said yes. So what does he do? As a thank you to Rebecca, he puts bracelets on her wrist. He puts a nose ring in her nose. I know some of you parents don't want to hear that. Neither do I. But that's what he did. The bracelets were 10 shekels of gold, 5 to 7 ounces. And many people believe that the 10 shekels were a sign of the Ten Commandments. And in the day, it was something a groom gave to a fiancé. And what it said was, this is a righteous woman. This is a virgin. This is a virtuous woman. This is a moral woman. And she would wear the bracelets as a sign of bragging that her fiancé thinks that of her. And so she gets the bracelets. And she runs home to tell, the Bible says, her mother's house. Isn't that the way of a bride? She runs home to tell her mother's house in verse 28. Now, Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban. Oh, we will read so much about Laban in the next few weeks. Just get Labaned up. This guy is a character. She has a brother named Laban, and Laban ran out to the man by the well. And so it came to pass when he saw the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrist, and when he heard the words of his sister Rebekah saying, thus the man spoke to me, that he went to the man, and there he stood by the camels at the well, and he said, come in, come on in, oh blessed of the Lord, what are you doing standing out there? Come on, I've got the house ready, I've got hay waiting for your camels. Baloney. He didn't have time to do any of that. What did he want? He wanted money. He saw those bracelets on his sister's wrist, and his eyes went, cha-ching! And I don't know, you know, it says that Eliezer gave gifts to Rebekah's family. I don't know how much of a camel he unpacked. Let's get crazy and say he unpacked half a camel. Okay? So, and now in Rebekah's house, there's half a camel's worth of stuff. What's Laban see? 9.5 camels. Come on in. Stay. So the man came into the house in verse 32, and he unloaded his camels. Oh, that must have been so sweet for Laban. He unloaded the camels. He provided straw and feed for the camels and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. And food was set before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told about my errand. And they said, speak on. And so Eliezer goes through this whole story with Laban and Bethuel and the family of Rebekah. He tells about Abraham. He tells about Isaac. He tells about the oath. He tells about the trip. He tells about the prayer. We don't even know if he knows God. He's testifying on God's behalf. And God said yes to me. And there was Rebekah. And so I asked her if there was room, and she said yes, and here I am. In verse 50, Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you either bad or good. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be your master's son's wife, your master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass, when Abraham's servant heard their words, that he worshipped the Lord, bowing down himself to the earth. Then the servant brought out jewelry of silver, gold, clothes, and he gave them to Rebekah, and he also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. And he and the men who were with him ate and drank, and they stayed all night. They had a wedding shower, it sounds like to me. Gifts are had, food, drink, party. They celebrate. And then the next morning, he said to them, send me away to my master. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. It's time for us to go. And the family says, not so fast. But let her stay with us for a while. And in our King James, it says 10 days. And that, the word day is yom, like Yom Kippur last Monday. But it can mean an annual day. It can mean a day, an annual day. It can mean a year of days. And in this case, that's what it means. And they're asking for a year. They say to Eliezer, not so fast. Let her stay a year. Or at least 10 months. 10 days, it says. At least 10 months. Why? Why do they want to delay Eliezer? That wasn't in the rhyme. Pray, get on the way, God will guide if you delay. No, that's not the way it went. Laban wants to unload those camels. What are you rushing off for? Leave those camels unloaded. We'll take care of your stuff. And so Eliezer says, no, I got to get out of here. He's probably thinking, Abraham's still alive. This is going so good. This is my first stop. I've only come 500 miles. 500 miles, bam, home run. I got to get home and share the good news with Isaac and with Abraham. And so Laban and Rebekah's mother think, oh, we're going to pull a trick on this guy. Tell you what, we'll let Rebekah decide. We'll leave it up to Rebekah. Whatever she says goes. And they're thinking, she won't want to leave right away. Why would she want to go with a perfect stranger? Why would she only want to settle with bracelets and a nose ring? That's what we'll do. We'll set this poor guy up. And so they do. And they bring it down to Rebekah. And you know, God bless Rebekah. That woman had insight. She's watching all of this happen. She's listening to the story of Eliezer. She's bearing witness that this indeed is God. That this is her time. That this is her call. And so they say in verse 57, we will call the young woman and ask her personally. Then they called Rebekah and they said to her, will you go with this man? Will you just go? Or will you stay? Ah, what an amazing three words in her response. I will go. She says yes. Friend, what a beautiful picture this is. Beautiful picture of Abraham as God the Father. Isaac as God the Son. Eliezer as the Holy Spirit that God sends from a land of promise to a land of sin in which we live. But he comes to us and he offers us the bracelets of righteousness. The offer is made. It's brought to us of salvation. That free gift. Will you go? Will you go with the Holy Spirit? Will you go with what he's convicting you in your heart to do? And for us who have said yes to the Lord, the Holy Spirit comes and says, will you serve? Will you give? Will you live for the Lord? Friend, do you know that the expectation in the New Testament church is that everybody serves? Everybody. 100%. Will you, like Rebecca, say yes? You don't have to. And Rebecca could have delayed. She could have disobeyed. She could have said no to the Lord. But she went. Now look at the end of this story. Then Rebecca and her maids arose and they rode on the camels and they followed the man. So the servant took Rebecca and departed. Now Isaac came from the way of Beer Lahoy Roy, for he dwelt in the south. You remember? This is the well where the Lord found Hagar. What does it mean? The Lord will see. I wonder what Isaac was praying there. Oh, I don't wonder. He was praying, Lord, bring me a wife. Bring me a mate. Bring me somebody. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening. And he lifted his eyes and he looked. And there the camels were coming. And then Rebekah lifted her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel. For she had said to the servant, who is this man walking in the field to meet us? And the servant said, it is my master. And so she took a veil and she covered herself. And the servant Eliezer tells this story a second time. Tells Isaac everything that happened. Tells him about the trip, the camels, the well, the prayer, the bracelets, the nose ring, Laban. Watch that one. Tells him the whole story. And then Isaac brought her into his mother's tent. And he took Rebekah and she became his wife. And he loved her. And so Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Oh, friend, let me tell you. The Lord wants to love you. He wants a relationship with you that is not one of estrangement, but that is one of personal. And it's offered to you today. I hope that you'll have the courage to say yes. You say, I don't know. It sounds as stupid as confronting Hell's Angels. It is not. It is not. To say yes to the Lord is the courageous thing to do. And friend, He will not only bless you, He'll bless this family that we call Calvary Chapel if you do it.